I had so much fun with Black Lives Matter because they wanted everyone to post that fucking black square. And I talked to my friends about it. I'm like, don't do it. Don't do it. And it's not because you don't support a cause, but posting a black square is not the way you do it. Posting a black square just lets people go, what about this time? You didn't do it this time. And a ton of celebrities got that. A ton of celebrities got the what about this time shit treatment. Yeah, I mean, it was interesting and it was great. It was going strong until the NBA decided to come back. They were afraid they were going to, like, distract from the Black Lives Matter movement. And they did. But I don't really care about that. That's not my New York City summer. My New York City summer is comedy clubs were starting to open, but not indoors. Nothing was open indoors. Just outside. And the young comics of the New York City comedy scene, the stand opened up outdoors. The cellar was ready to its at small capacity indoors if possible. New York Comedy Club rented a fucking penthouse with a rooftop that they could do shows on a rooftop. It was a good show. The stand opened up right in front of their patio. And then people like May and people like Natalie Cuomo and a bunch of people started a rooftop show called The Tiny Cupboard. Gary Veeder did a show in the back of a Greek restaurant. He's not small time. But these younger New York comics, it was fucking great. They were like, I'm not going to wait. I'm not going to let comedy get taken away from me. I'm going to find a way to do it safely. And they did. I went to The Tiny Cupboard for my first show there. I only did two or three. It was in Brooklyn. It was a long bike ride. And when I got there, I was like, hey, it seemed like one of those fucking bar shows. Cafe shows, you know? And I got there, and he was like, you here for the comedy show? And I was like, you don't seem like you recognize me. So why would you assume that me, just a customer, that's tilted, is here for... Yeah, that's better. It's here for a bar show. On Saturday nights, there were four shows a night. Different people promoting them. And people were out, and it was fun. It was fun because... we had taken comedy away from us. They had taken all sorts of shit away from us. And we got back to New York. New Yorkers sort of came together. Again, it was the epicenter of COVID. It was the number one city for that, USA, number one. For deaths, for cases, you had to get the fuck out of New York. Other states, if you drove to another state, they'd be like, "What?" With your license plate, with New York, they'd be like, what the fuck are you doing here? There was violence against New Yorkers. Not kidding. That's how fucking crazy people got. And then later, it reversed. I'll tell people from Georgia up in New York, people are like, what are you doing here? Nobody was like, you know what I'm doing here. I'm trying to fucking get where it's not so bad. The fear of the other was ripe. When I got back, I'll talk about comedy in a second. But when I got back, I had come from this environment, from this family environment, where, God, I love being in the burbs. But I got back from this family environment where it was like I couldn't touch anybody. I couldn't see anybody. It's just my parents. And then suddenly we were like thrown into New York with people out in the streets. And I was like, so if someone was crossing, you can see this on YouTube, youtube.com/RHFair. Please subscribe. If someone was coming and they were like right here, right where this machete is, you know, and I was like walking down the street. Let's say this is an open street. This is how we'd go. So like the sidewalk ends right here. I'd go like this. And I pass him at least 6 feet away, probably more. Can I come around? Maybe I'll come around. We were scared of everybody. That first week and a half, I knew we'd get eaten. I told Tony, I was like, hey, we gotta have signals for each other. If there's a party and it starts at like one person that we don't know, ow. And then it moves to like three or four, we gotta have a signal to get the fuck out of there. Where we get overwhelmed. Also, we hadn't talked to anybody. Just social overwhelmed. And we got over it in about a week or two. And dude, there was nothing to do. And I guess the government, the city, the cops, whatever, they decided, they shut down some of the streets, especially in the East Village, also in Brooklyn, to car traffic. So only walking and biking traffic was open. And they said, You can drink in public. People, cool. People from Miami and New Orleans are going to be like, what do you mean? Can you normally not? No. And anyone in Europe, like, can you not? No, we normally cannot. Because they hate us for our freedoms, and I can't fucking walk with a drink down the street. I remember I was in Miami once, and they did last call, me and Kirk Fox. I was like, oh, I'll get two more drinks. Got them, brought them back in. They're like, hey, you got to go. So I'm like, no, last call means half an hour. And they're like, you got to go. I'm sure I said this story before on this podcast. And I was like, well, we just got these drinks. Went to the bar, picked up two plastic cups, poured our drinks into them, said, go ahead. That's the way it should be. As long as I'm not sculling anybody, why does China have more freedom to walk around drinking than we do in the United States of America? Legitimately. And the cops lessened up. They didn't change the law. They lessened up. I don't know if it'll stay this way. And the public drunkenness ensued. It was a massive street fair party every day of the week. People got too loose in the beginning. You saw some people throwing up in the streets. Wasn't bad. Black people started coming into the East Village. I guess they heard. They're like, is this all open? And it was open. You're welcome. You're welcome to come join us. And they did. They filled up the hookah bars. I don't know why black people love hookah bars. And everyone was out. It was so social. You could call up a friend. Call up a friend's like, what are you doing right now? DeRosa would call me. I became better friends with DeRosa. He'd call me like, what are you doing? I'm like, I don't know. It's 11:30. Started going to sleep earlier. Because once the night came, everything was closed. You had to get... 9 p.m. was the new 1 a.m. Shit, close at 10, then 11, then 10 again, sometimes 9, sometimes 8. But daytime, summertime in New York, you could drink wherever you wanted. We got burgers and Bloody Marys from that place on C, that burger place on C, Royale, all the time. It became a thing of like, you drinking? Like, no, like, why not? You're like, I don't know. I meet Mark Normand. We just fucking go and drink. And they invented a new word in Los Angeles, in New York. A new word. You hear that? It's fucking those motorcyclists. Different people, though. Walktails. You get your drink, your margarita, whatever. They put them in pouches, like high-C pouches. So you can get them and walk. The little straw that would fucking melt halfway through. Can I just suggest one thing? I get it. You don't want to fucking kill the turtles. I understand that. But we're drinking with a fucking towel, and it's soaking up the water and fucking dissipating. It only lasts so long. So can I just make a suggestion for all the naturalists out there and for the people who want to, like, comply and also for the people who want to be able to drink? Twizzlers or Red Vines. We're not going to get into a debate which one's better. It doesn't matter. They both have a hold in the middle. Chop, chop, straw. Edible. I mean, legitimately. Especially if it's a fruity drink. Why aren't you just giving Twizzlers or straws? There's no waste. Walktails. Eventually, me and DeRosa decided to drink for this part. We figured something out. We were at one of our favorite bars in the East Village. It's a place I go. I'm not going to tell you where. Cause it's a place I go to write late at night after comedy sets. It's just a fun place to work. I'm done with my sets. It's 1:30 a.m. I go to a bar, have two drinks, sit there and write, watch TV, maybe some college basketball's on there. Somehow the fuck am I going to open this beer? There's not even a flat surface. Maybe this machete. I mean, there's no way I don't cut myself for this. Crack the fucking for sure. Come on. Why can't I do it? Hold on 1 second, guys. I'm opening a fucking beer. Yos! Success! Yep. I broke it. Fuck. Can I not drink this now? That sharp glass. Is there glass on the inside? Fuck. Is there glass on the inside? Why did I fuck myself over so hard on this? I don't see any glass on the inside. Okay, I'm just going to drink this way. This is when you know you're an alcoholic. You might drink glass and completely fuck up your insides for the rest of your life. And you're like, well, I'll just drink slowly. So one time we were ordering beers from a place near Tompkins. And fuck. And we wanted to get more, and then we went back to DeRosa's place, his old place. He just moved. We're like, well, let's get another beer. So like, we already have the cups with the straws from the bar we like. All outdoors. You couldn't go into the bars. And he's like, yeah. I'm like, why don't we just go to the fucking bodega? And we were like, oh, yeah. Let's get bodega beers. It reminded me of Lok Kwai Fong in Hong Kong. All these bars open, and then 7-Eleven open. I'm like, you can just have a beer and take it out. And everybody drinking to the bars would take their drinks out to Lok Kwai Fong anyway, to the street. And they would just join the people who bought their beers at 7-Eleven. And then the bars got real mad. And people were like, you can fuck off. I ain't buying a more expensive beer for no reason. So dangerous. Why am I risking this? So, we walk around, we drink. Sometimes, we're at the park. We get the word from one of our friends. Louis Katz was around. Corinne Fisher and I became better friends. Anyone from the hood, all yardies, we'd all become good friends. I'd see Corinne at the dog park. I'm like, hey, instead of going like this, this is how you normally pass somebody you know. You go, oh, hey, Corinne, what's up? Good, how are you going? I'm going to podcast. Oh, cool, cool, I'll see you later. And you walk on. Not now. Not 2020 summer in New York. Now, here's how you pass Corinne. Here's how you pass someone like that. You're like, hey, Corinne, how you doing? He's like, good. What's going on? I'm just taking the dog for a walk. Oh, really? How's he doing? How you doing, buddy? Cool. Now I'll come sit with you for a minute. And you just sit and fucking talk. That literally happened one time. But that kind of thing happened all the time. I became way better friends with Joe DeRosa for the first time. I became way better friends with Sal Volcano for the first time. I would stop over at Jay's house all the time. Big Jay and I played basketball one day. Big Jay and I played basketball one day with Joe DeRosa. Joe's really bad. You'd walk the streets. You'd drink. Hung out at New York Comedy Club with the comics. Said, you go, let's go for another drink. Let's go walk. We go get a fucking 24-pack of Trulies and let's have it. I had a barbecue. Mateo showed up and fucking Feeney and Sagalo and who else? Christina Hutchins. Oh, yeah, she was fucking around too. Justin Silva was around. It was just like, anyone's around, you're in. And we just got sloppy. There was no reason not to. Here or there, shit would get a little more crowded than I was comfortable with COVID. I know you could say like, oh, there's only people, 10 people, only 15 people. You can't get it. It's like, I don't want to say when I got it, hey, how'd you get it? I'm like, I was at a bar after hours with like, I knew six of them and I didn't know like six or seven of them. And they're like, oh, I'm like, I know, fucking mistake. Or let's say I gave it to someone like a tell or some smoker who had real, I don't want to be responsible for that. So I just erred on the side of, and here or there, I was at a lock-in in a bar and I was like, this isn't right. And I quickly finished my beer in the corner and got the fuck out of there. One time, me and DeRosa, Jay never shows up. That's his standard. Big Jay never shows up. Hey, we're doing this fun thing. Cool. Oh, yeah, I'll be there. You don't come. Hey, let's all, one time in South by Southwest, like, we're all walking by the fucking, on the river. Me, I think, Jolis, Sarah, Christine Evans. Evans, that's her last name. I always thought it was Okerson. Big Jay, all of us. And we're like, let's save a weekend and let's all go do a fun thing. I forget what we planned. We set it up. I was like, okay, this weekend. So then it's 2 months out. I was like, hey, so what are we doing? What do you think? Is it? And Jay's like, oh, I can't. I booked a gig. And it's like, why? He's like, oh, sorry, I got a gig. I'm like, yeah, we said don't book a gig. Not we hope you don't get one. He said, keep the fucking weekend open. That's Jay's standard. Not during summer of 2020. DeRosa, call Jay. He won't come, but call him. And then he shows up. And then he shows up. Wow, the fucking clouds went away and the sun showed up. Fuck yeah. I don't see any glass. And then he showed up. And then it started pouring. It started pouring. We sat under an umbrella, huddled together, one of those fucking seat umbrellas. I mean, it was like, you ever see the old Batman with Mr. Freeze? And Batman figured out how to, like, trap Mr. Freeze into a small... I think Mr. Freeze did it to Batman first. He was, like, it was too frozen, and he lowered the area where he could stand till he could just stand right there. Anywhere else, he would instantly freeze. He reversed on Mr. Freeze, Adam West. He was the best Batman, burning hell. And we were huddled, the three of us, together. It pouring rain, like right here, huddled like this so we didn't get wet. Found another seat. We ran to it, got beers, and sat there. And it was just like pouring like a foot in front of us, but just enough where we could sit down. And every once in a while, Louis Katz or DeRosa or my boyfriend or anybody would be over at Tompkins. And they'd go, hey. And they'd give me a call or a text. Pink Clouds is playing. What? Yeah, fucking Pink Clouds are playing right now. This is band. Can you even call it a band? Yeah, for sure. I mean, for all intents and purposes, yeah. She doesn't call herself a band. She calls herself a fake band, but nah. I don't know what that means. The Pink Clouds. I'd already heard a song or two of theirs. It just came up on Spotify. She calls herself a busker. You know, she plays for the people. She plays for fucking the money you're willing to give. And she plays hard. They're so fucking good. They're so fucking good. And she got this ensemble and they just entertained us for free all summer long. They saved our fucking summer. The Pink Clouds saved our fucking summer. It was amazing. Pink Clouds are like, what? I'll come down right now. Put shoes on and run out. What else are you doing? You might have one spot at night. If you don't know the Pink Clouds music, fucking go check it out. It's cool. And we would just hang. Go over to Jay's, smoke a Jay, keep walking. Take Bandit for a walk. You know, just walk around, getting high like it was supposed to be. Cops left us the fuck alone. Before this, I also walked around and drank beer. That's white privilege. And I fucking used it to the max. Me and Mark Norman had the same theory. They ain't gonna bother us. We're white. So drink a beer. Put it in a plastic cup. Get an off-brand beer where it doesn't look like a Budweiser, where it looks like maybe it's a fucking high-end soda. But it ain't a soda. It's a Narragansett. God damn, it was fun. And you'd go do your shows. So normally you do shows in New York. New York comics are a lot better comics than LA comics. And the reason for that is that they work harder at their craft. They go up on stage a lot more. Now, LA comics have some comics that have developed in New York, for sure. So they had that work ethic, and then they developed into who they are. Then they went to New York. So that does make LA kind of stand with New York in that sense. But in terms of the day-to-day, who cares who's better? The reality is New York comics get up a lot more. That's not debatable. 3-4 times a night, 20 times a week is like 15 at least. The most people get in LA is 7 or 8, but a lot of people get 2 or 3. But now, suddenly, we had no spots to do. So you go do a spot at the Stand. What are you doing after this? You got another spot, got another spot, got another spot. Let's drink. All right, well, I won't be done for 2 hours, but hopefully we'll meet up. Not now. Now it's like, hey, I got a spot at the Stand. It's like, cool, I got no spots tonight. I got one tomorrow. I'll meet you at the Stand. Let's smoke a cigar. And let's hang out. Hung out with Bobby Kelly a bunch. Went camping with Bobby Kelly and Joe List and Sarah because it didn't matter. We had nothing to do. I went camping so many times. Went on hikes. I got a car. I got a fucking car. My first new car in fucking so long. I gave up my last car in L.A. It was 8 years before, and I got it new. I leased it new and then bought it, so I leased a new car. Yeah, I love it. The freedom to get up and go. I had to. You can't take the subway. It was COVID. And we went places. We used it. Visited my sister more. Visited my parents one time. Went to see my friend David, my Orthodox Jewish friend, in Long Island. I could go anywhere I wanted. It was such freedom. And we had so much fun with friends. Me and Mark Normand, we were like, what are you doing? Let's meet halfway. He's in the West Village. I'm in the East Village. Let's meet halfway. And let's fucking get day drunk again. And the cool thing about stand-up in this time, I don't know why LA did not seem to react the same way New York did. I have a theory, but this has nothing to do with my summer. My theory is that LA comics rely on Hollywood, and so they sort of wait for stuff to come to them. Whereas New York comics are more DIY. There is no Hollywood to give them a fucking you succeed. So we just do it. We just get up a bunch. That being said, it was the low-level comics who went and got... I don't know why LA didn't prepare right away. It almost never rains. But Tiny Cupboard, Veter Show, there were tons of shows everywhere. For the first time in a while, we as comics, not New York comics, but as comics, had a lot to respond to. So the COVID jokes, there were some hacky ones, sure, but it was still like a way to get shit off our chests. Black Lives Matter happened, and we could respond in real time. They started attacking comedy again. We could respond in real time. Some sexual misconduct stuff that came up in comedy, and the crowds sometimes knew what we were talking about, sometimes didn't. We could do fun, weird one-off sketches. You know? Weird, like, hey, come up on stage with me. Who cares? Let's try it. Yeah, responding to COVID, responding to Black Lives Matter, responding to new details of COVID. Trans lives matter. Well, I don't know how they co-opted it. Do you know over 50,000 black trans people are killed every year in New York City just by traffic cops? And we had shit to talk about. And we'd do new material. The crowds were there for us. And for themselves. The crowds are there because finally we can go out again. I get it. I've been in crowds. It was fun to watch. It was fun to watch a tell. I got to watch a tell again. And so then the theory came, like, do you do new stuff? Right away, I'm not doing new stuff. I mean, I'm not doing old stuff. My very first set, I'm not waiting from March, whatever it was, 10th, whatever it was, guys, until July. I'm not going to be the guy who's, like, still doing his old material. No fucking way. Even though my old material was my new material, I'm not doing it. Not when Black Lives Matter happened. Riots, protests, the election was going on. The primaries. I don't give a shit about that, but you can make fun of the people who do give a shit about it. I started doing a bit again, well, that was later, about how I didn't really care about Trump because my life is no different under him than before him. Just a bunch of white chicks are more angry at me now than they ever were before. But you could respond in real time to any new detail. It was fun. It felt counterculture on a few different levels. One, we're all out and being outside, and it felt wrong because we weren't allowed to be outside. It was taken away from us. So now there were no more of this. If you get a while, watch this. No more arms crossed. With that look of going, like, yeah, make another joke. Say something funny then. That didn't happen. Because why would you be out? You were excited to be out. Could be an open mic. I saw open mics in the park, in Union Square, Central Park. I was at Central Park with Liz and Sarah and a bunch of people. And then Sarah's like, I got a spot. I think Liz Mealy might have been there too. And it's like, where's your spot? She goes, it's over there. 3-minute walk across Strawberry Fields. Sheep's Bay, Sheep's Head, Sheep's Meadow, whatever. Did the spot, came back. We had to earn it again. We had to earn the stage time. And there was no stage. There was no mics. It was fucking revolutionary. I'm not even kidding. It was amazing. Comedy was amazing. People were like, we're out. It felt like a speakeasy. It really did. Because it was like borderline illegal. We were doing it safely. I didn't know any shows were like indoors, like lock the doors, let's do it anyway. That felt irresponsible. I know there's a lot of raves that way. I ain't judging anybody. That time came and went when I was judging people in like from like March to July. I was like, what are you doing? You weren't. But now it's like, I don't know. We all have our levels. You know, I'll be as safe as I can be based on what I want to be with how bad it is right now, whatever the stats are. Wasn't it just sunny fucking a minute ago and now it's raining? But it felt illegal because there was it was outdoors, which is way safer. It was spaced out. So it's like we're complying with the spirit of the law, if not the letter of the law, because I don't know if it was legal. But we would do it like where – here I broke it down this way. Would I be comfortable bringing audience in? So would I be comfortable performing there? Okay, the cellar had an indoor show with like a fucking fish. It was glass on all sides of you. So you only heard through the mic. I'd be comfortable performing there, but would I be comfortable putting my parents in the audience there? And I would not. Not in the audience. It's indoors. Why be indoors? Why be indoors? Oh, shit. Is this getting all wet? But those stand shows and those fucking New York Comedy Club shows and the Tiny Cupboard, I hope that goes on. Royersford, which I got to talk about. I would feel comfortable putting my elderly friends and family in that crowd. I'd be like, no, this is okay. This is okay. There was a club in Royersford, Pennsylvania. Well, I can't remember the name now. Soul Joel's Comedy Amphitheater. He had opened up a 120, 130 seat room right before COVID hit. Like many small businesses, it was devastating. And I'm not saying what any small business should do, but Soul Joel, that's his name, Joel something, where things were taken away from him, he saw an opportunity. And there was a giant field outside the office building where his comedy club inhabited the top floor. And he took a 18-wheeler, the bed of an 18-wheeler, repurposed it as a stage, laid sand down over the entire field, and said, we're doing a 400-person capacity show here. Got permission from the people who ran the office space. And he called it Soul Joel's, I forget, like, I don't know, comedy festival. For the I think 31 days for the 31 shows he had to cancel. Something like that. Outdoors, totally safe. And again, people were like about 40 minutes away from Philadelphia, another 40 minutes away from Lancaster. Nowhere near Honesdale. Where I went to a sleepaway camp. And it became the best club in the East Coast. 400 people. You can make a grip too. You can make cash. I did a show on a week and a half notice on a Sunday. It was a holiday Sunday. And I was like, get me in there. I'm ready to fucking headline. This is cool. Let's do it. They added a show, 2 weeks notice. Sold out one show, sold out another half a show. And I'm telling you, there were 150 tickets sold 2 days before. People were like, we got to wait for the weather. 2 days later, 600 tickets were sold. I made like 10 grand. It was amazing. Took Mark Norman with me. Paid him a bunch of money. Smoked cigars. Had a great road trip. Actually, we recorded a podcast on the way to that. That'll come out soon. Mark Norman is also... No glass in my throat, I don't think. Oh, shit. Mark Norman is also on my Patreon a couple weeks ago. We do some of the mailbag stuff. We did them together. So he joined me for Patreon. Patreon.com/Ari Shaffir. Join now. I'm trying to get good content on there. What was I going to say? Yeah, Soul Joel's was amazing. People headlined a bunch. I went down there with to open up surprise guests for Joe List and Louis C.K. and Sarah Tolomash, Joe List's wife. What a fucking fun show that was. Drove all the way down. Louis C.K. drives like a fucking animal. It was almost like a roller coaster where I just had to laugh. Because I was like, oh my God. You can say all you want about the sexual shit. None of that bothered me as much as being in the front seat going like, dude, slow down. It was nothing you could do. We were out of control. You should have just seen control. I'm like, well, either going to die or we're going to make it. And we made it. What a fucking fun place. Stress Factory, they fucking built an outdoor giant tent. People rolled with the punches. That's what a fucking American spirit is. Roll with the fucking punches. The Stress Factory was an amazing club. It was outdoors, lights. Vinny put everything he could into it to make it fucking great. Right towards the end of the summer, Big J and I decided to record What's Your Fucking Deal? His show that was on CISO that nobody fucking saw because it was on CISO. What's Your Fucking Deal? It was great. It was a crowd work show. Jay hosts, five different comics. And we're like, let's fucking film something, guerrilla style. Let's just make it happen. I got to fucking edit that thing. It'll be coming out soon. A brand new long individual sets and a long episode of What's Your Fucking Deal. We made it happen outdoors. I haven't listened to it or watched it yet. I got to do that. I've been so having so much fun. But it was great. It was great. And every time we're like, what's going to happen later? I'm like, why would you worry about later? Let's just enjoy this now. Let's just enjoy what we're doing here right now. Because it was the greatest summer in New York history. The way you'd meet up with people, the way you'd make new friends, the way you'd drink with whoever you wanted. It was great. Road trips, camping trips. Everyone was in town. That's what made it so special. One, the fact that we reacted to current events on the spot. No one was doing their old material. So I was going to say, you did your old material. I did my old material. So Attell was like, no, I'm making this crowd laugh. Rogan, I talked to, he's like, no, you make the crowd laugh. They come to escape. I'm like, yeah, but they're not here for me. I'm not even on the lineup. There was secret line. It was a dinner show at the Stand. Buy dinner, and who knows? There might be a comedy show happening at 8. But dinner seating is at 7:30. Support the Stand, you guys. They support comics like no other club I've ever been to. And all these clubs need help. Wherever you are in your local town, support these clubs. So for a while, I did like new material. And then I was like, I see Attell like really killing it with some of the old stuff. And I was like, okay, I'm going to mix in old and new. I'm going to try for me a little bit for 8 minutes. And then I give you guys a fucking real escape. And you get these laughs. You're like, oh my God, it's been so many months since I've gotten a real laugh. Felt great. And then we just hang out till all hours just fucking talking. People would come, walk by, college kids would come by the Stand and stay outside, not have to pay a ticket, sit outside of the City Bikes across the street and get this free show. Will Silvins and Cypher Sounds had to be like, hey guys, I get it. You're stealing a show. It's okay. We know it's cool. Don't be taking pictures of this and don't be posting it on fucking Instagram because it's outlaw, so you can't get your likes out of this. You got to leave it unliked. It's just got to be an experience you can tell your friends about. And they're like, okay. But they didn't understand. Like, what do you mean? But the only way you could have something good is if you get likes. Hey, I forgot to say this when I was talking about all that shit about the greatest troll of the year, maybe the decade. I know I heard some people going like, well, so-and-so, you know, threw Ari under the bus during all that. Some other comic threw Ari under the bus. Some other comic went against comedy and didn't support comedy. And so I'm not going to go see their show. Guys, that's not what I want for you to do. I started to say it before. The reason I go see a show is because it's going to be a good show. And the reason I think you come see me on stage is because I put on a great new hour of comedy every time I come to a new city. And if I don't, on the rare occasion I don't, I will let you know. I'm like, this is the same hour I was here with before. It's very rare. Either way, it's going to be a great show, or I'm not going to charge you. Charge you $10 for a workout show. $5 at the fucking Village Underground at the Fat Black when I was working out the Jew Hour. It was a $5 show in the beginning. I'll price shit accordingly. So if you come see me because you like me as a person, well, you're fucking yourself over. I'm not a good person. And like, he's disrespectful. Like, absolutely I am. That's part of my charm as a stand-up comic, is that I don't have too much respect for any theme. So please, do not boycott any comedian because they fell for my troll. They were fools. I made a fool of them. There's no reason to not see their show. If they put on a good show that you wanted to see before, continue to see that. And by the way, if their art form is to sell out comics and say, like, you shouldn't do that joke, you shouldn't do that, this goes too far, I support that too. You do whatever you want to do with your creativity. And if that means attacking other artists, that's okay. And if one of those artists is me, that's also okay. You do whatever you want to do. You live by your own morals that you set up. And if you're like, I hate comedy, I'm going to attack all comics, then fucking that's your right. And I support it. I will support your free speech at all moments. So guys, absolutely do not hold that against them, that they were enraged by social media posts which were geared to enrage people from the city those people lived in. It's okay. I made fools of them. That's punishment enough. Continue to go see their shows. Continue to support their fucking things. So anyway, it was a fucking wonderful summer. In July, I have the right date here. People started to go like, well, how long can this go on? Year in review. Oh, I'm going to do my, resolutions at the end of this podcast. It's going to be a long fucking podcast, but something. What do you guys think? Should I do Adrian next week or in a couple weeks? Her whole fucking thing. Best summer, Royersford. Oh, I went to Montauk with Sal and Big J and DeRosa and all the fucking, you know, lovers. Pink Louds. God damn, Pink Louds was cool. They saved our summer. Pink Louds are so fucking cool. The show they put on outdoors. July 31st. Walktails. And then at some point, they decided to stop the walktails. Cuomo went, it was always changing, and these bars were trying to like roll with the punches. At some point, they were like, we're all out one day, and they go, hey guys, if you have a beer in your hand, you have to have a seat. We're like, well, okay, so I can't stand? Like, you can't. So you can switch off seats. Anytime you're drinking, you have to be sitting down. And we're like, why? Like, it's not my thing. It's Cuomo's or de Blasio's. I don't know the difference. Yeah. Walktails. At some point, they outlawed the walktails. Only a few bars would do it. Only a few bars were going to allow themselves, like, you could take this to go. Some of them were like, you have to have dinner with it. So that favorite bar of mine, they're like, here's a fucking bag of chips. You have to take it, which I wanted anyway. Or here's a half a sandwich. One place, here's a fucking rolled up tortilla in a fucking tinfoil. Homeless people got real sick of tortillas and fucking sandwiches. Eventually, people started to not get sloppy drunk. At least in the East Village. They said crime was up. They said crime was up. Not in the East Village. I'll tell you that much. Or... no, let me do this. They said crime was up, and I'm like, one, you're making that seem like it already wasn't one of the safest cities in the world. So maybe it was up, but how far up? Is it as bad as Detroit? I don't think so. Also, they say crime is up. Okay. What crime? Drug use? Oh, yeah. It's way up. I did so much Molly. I smoked so much reefer. I drank publicly. I graffitied ads everywhere I could. I carried around a fucking a paint pen. Every time there was an ad I saw, anything, what I would do is I would take out the business from the ad. You know, so if it was like a big, I don't know, Assi Spumanti, why am I saying that, ad with two people like going like this, you know, just with glasses, and at the bottom it says Assi Spumanti, I would just cross out the Assi Spumanti. Leave the art. Take out the advertisement. And you would be like, why? It's like, because I never gave them that right. I think we have a right to walk freely down the street without being advertised to. If you're on YouTube, if you're watching Friends or anything on NBC or whatever, then no. The deal is, I'll watch this and then you give me ads. I understand that, but not walking down the street. No. I never gave you that right to be treated like a human wallet. So I take matters back into my own hands. And you might be like, that's illegal. It's like, yeah, I know. Crime was up. Or it might have been up. There were like some killings in fucking, I don't know, not my neighborhood. You would see some public drunkenness, and sometimes it would get out of control, and I'd be like, I'm uncomfortable. One of those times was July 31st. Justin Silver's birthday party. They were like, where should we do it? Christina's or in the park? And I'm like, dude, you live fucking 3 blocks from the park on the west side. Let's just do it in the park. One, it's summertime. So why not do it at the park anyway? You know? It's a great time. Two, COVID. What are we doing this indoors for? It's like, it's a double reason. Let's do it outside. And I don't know why, but for the last minute, they moved it inside to Christina's. So I'm there with my boyfriend. And there's a couple people there I know, for sure. And then there's people there I didn't know. And it's like, fuck, I don't know if these people are being careful. I'm starting to feel like, I just don't know. I might leave here. I told Tony, like, hey, we might have to get the fucker out of here. And then while he was in the bathroom, Christina and Corinne got a stripper for Justin. And I'm like, dude, I'm already, like, I shouldn't be here. And now there's some fucking stripper that nobody knows. I don't know who she's been around. It ain't about the fucking venereal disease. But it sure is about the fucking COVID disease. And I'm like, hey, so I just left. I found if you Irish could buy this shit, then no one's going to bother you. Because if it's like, hey, I'm not comfortable, people are like, oh, no, we'll make her leave or we'll be good. It's like, I don't want to bother anybody. You guys keep partying. I'm not judging anybody. Keep partying. I left. We're on Molly, though. We're a bit drunk. Tuned up on Molly. Oh, my Molly dealer. Man, he did well this year. This might have been Justin's Molly, though. I don't know. But, so we're walking around. We're like, well, let's not go home. Let's walk around these deserted streets of Manhattan. All right, in the center of town. Walked by the Empire State Building. Got some roadies. Stopped by a bodega. Got some roadies. And we just walked on Molly, you know? I don't know if you guys ever do MDMA, but when you're with a loved one, when you're with a boyfriend, a girlfriend, wife, friend, it's the best, man. It's just the best. You know, I mean, you could say whatever you want. I don't know if like the next day wasn't great or whatever, but that, sure, that might be true. But like that time on Molly with someone you like is amazing. And anyone you know who's ever done Molly, even fucking Bert, he'll still tell you. He probably doesn't very often, but he'll still tell you. Oh, yeah. Those 4 hours while we were sitting there together on Molly were phenomenal. He probably loses that in the fucking aftermath. But that time on it. Woo! And so we're walking around. We sat on some construction barriers with our beers late at night, knowing no cops are going to bother us, smoking a J right across the street from fucking the Empire State Building, 11 o'clock at night. And it was just so full of love. And then we talked about it. We were just talking. We're like, you know, if it wasn't with you and I didn't have Bandit, I'd probably be on the road again. I'd probably be somewhere in Southeast Asia or South America or like Africa or somewhere. I don't know. I'd probably be traveling. Tony said the same thing. You know, said I usually go to different places by now. We have a love of travel. And we're sitting there talking. You hear that? You know what that is? You're not going to guess. It's a frog. It sounds like two pieces of rock hitting together. It's frogs. They're all over. And we just kind of looked at each other and we're like, you want to go? I mean, I'd be gone if not for you, and you'd be gone if not for me. July 31st, 11 p.m., somewhere around there. And we just made the decision. We're like, yeah, let's get the fuck out of here. New York had become the safest city in America for COVID. So we weren't going to go anytime soon. But we started planning. We're like, yeah, let's go. And so it was done. We were ready. And then we just had to narrow it down. Where are we going to go? So New York City summer, the amazing time was over. No, it was not over yet. We decided. So we had all of August, all of September. Like, we're not going to leave this amazing time. The Pink Clouds are still playing. You know, we're still out there having walktails, whatever version of it, getting tuna. You go out like, I got to go see so-and-so. It's like, we'll get a beer for the road. It was lovely. But we made a decision, like, at the end of the summer, let's take the fuck off. Rest of the summer was amazing. We were narrowing down our list. And right around mid-September, we had our first cold day. The heat wave we always get in New York broke. And it was jacket weather. And the vibe changed. You could feel it. You could feel it. Everybody, they knew they mortgaged their future for the present. They were like, we're going to fucking ignore that. Ignore what the shit that's going to happen. We're going to have a great fucking summer. And once you get that first fucking cold day, we're like, oh shit, that's right. The winter's coming. And they did say the winter's going to be bad for COVID. They've always said that. So we still have the rest of September. And October's always great in New York. I'm so glad we did not do Sober October this year. I'm so fucking glad. Bert tried. He texted all of us. He goes, what are we doing for Sober October this year? Nobody responded to him. Then October 3rd, Joe's like, hey, I'm doing it. Bert was so mad. He was like, I suggested. I said, why are we doing it? Now you're just doing it alone? But I was not mad at all. I got out without anybody calling me a Welsh, without anybody saying I pussed out. I got out of it, which is fine. They never wanted to do any of the challenges that I wanted to do, which is, number one, get off social media. But Bert couldn't do it because he's the biggest addict out of all of us. They never read their books either. Anyway, where was I? Oh, yeah. So the vibe changed. We're like, oh, shit. We went to the Poconos again. With Sal and was that the book? That was Montauk. That's where they got the idea for Taste Buds with Joe DeRosa and Sal Volcano. They were having a legit argument about what's better, cinnamon raisin bagel, which we got, or everything bagels, which we also got. And then it was like, you guys should do this as a podcast. And now they are. Go check out Taste Buds. I listened to it out here, and it was great on a long road. We were taking Bandit to the fucking the vet and back, and we listened to it and laughed once the vet said she was okay. So I'm going to switch locations again. And when I come back, I'll tell you how I narrowed down the decision of where to go and where we went, and then cover the last couple months of the year. And then that's a year in review. Then I'll have my fucking resolutions. I hope you guys got your resolutions. And guys, don't forget, Yoga with Ari. Go log on right now and start today. Start today. What's today? What's going to come out? January 7th or 8th? Start today. Go to the 31st with us, with everybody else. It's legit yoga. It's ridiculous and it's not hard. It's legit yoga, though. It's just a very easy version of it. And I'm making jokes the whole time. It's accessible. Fuck those people with their chakras. And they're fucking, it's a mind-body connection. Be in tune with it. Fuck off. I don't know what you're saying. YouTube.com/Ari Shaffir. When I come back, I'll tell you about where I am.